aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition we're reporting from DRWF's inaugural national annual wellness event, United Through Diabetes. It marks the 25th anniversary of DRWF in the UK. Hundreds of delegates networked with the country's leading medical specialists, researchers and product manufacturers, together with other people living with all forms of diabetes and their families. Here are some of the people you'll be hearing from in this special edition of the Living with Diabetes podcast.
Technology isn't magic. It is often very clever, but it's not magic. And it works best when we as individuals know what we want from the technology.
And it was really nice for her to just say, we know that this is what you're going through. It's okay. It's normal.
The strength is with the people with diabetes. So if you get them on your side and they're backing you, most policy spaces will bend to that.
Diabetes can be so isolating when you don't know who else is going through it, and it's really easy to feel really very alone.
I decided that Iron Man's chest was like an insulin pump that keeps you alive. So I said to my dad, Dad, I'm basically a superhero because I've got basically a kind of arc reactor in me. And my dad thought, yeah, this book could work out.
United Through Diabetes 2023 was the first of our new annual national wellness events. It helps delegates discover new skills, knowledge and tools to enhance their diabetes understanding. They learned about the very latest in diabetes care and management, questioned the experts, met the researchers and made new friends in the diabetes community and much more. In addition to a large exhibition area, stalls and a chance to meet researchers being funded by DRWF, there were specialist talks tackling all types of diabetes, technology, diverse communities, families and young people. I caught up with most of our speakers, and videos of our podcast interviews are being placed within a new hub on our website, which features extensive content from the event. In this podcast, we'll give you a flavour of some of the talking points. Here are some highlights, starting with two of the leading voices at the forefront of diabetes care in the UK, whose session was packed to capacity.
My name is Ian Cranston. I'm a diabetes physician based in Portsmouth on the South Coast.
And my name is Partha Kaur. I'm a consultant also based in Portsmouth working with Ian Cranston. I'm also the National Specialty Advisor for Diabetes with NHS England.
You've both just done a session together. What was that all about?
So I think, you know, what the main thing is, so I've got a fundamental philosophy. Science is only good if you put it into people's lives. And I think, but the first step is to get the science right. So Ian mostly talked about the science, and my bit was more about how do you then get the science to go through all the policy and the money and the variation and all that to get it into people's lives. That's what pretty much what it was about.
But you've done an amazing job, haven't you?
Well, it depends as to how you look at it. I mean, I personally would say that it's also the job. And it takes time, energy, and I've had some fantastic allies along the way. So, but yeah, thank you for that. But no, it is also the job.
It is, but you've also championed and you've said to people, you can get in touch with me. So you've been very approachable in that national role, haven't you?
I think I've, my leadership style has always been, and you know, we're talking with me and Ian, and Ian has known me for a number of years, even when I was a trainee. That's always been my style. As I call it, very heavy metal. It's like all, you know, always 100 miles an hour.
And I genuinely have seen, and this is what I do pass on to people, is that the strength, if you want to implement something, is with the people with diabetes. So if you get them on your side and they're backing you, most policy spaces will bend to that. And that's pretty much what's happened.
So on the tech side, what's kind of there now that is very, very clever? Can we talk about the...
I think my outlook on tech is there for one of two reasons. It's either there to do something better than we can do it ourselves, or to do it in a way that makes it easier for us to do it ourselves. So I always use the example of the washing machine. The washing machine actually doesn't wash your clothes any better than you can, but it does it much more simply. And I think the real change that we've seen in medical technology generally, but particularly diabetes technology in the last 5 to 10 years, has been rather than concentrating solely on the outcome and the effectiveness, it absolutely started looking at the usability and how people can access it more easily. That said, with all technology, there is a how do I use it best? And I think that's kind of where we are at the moment, because obviously much of the technology that we're talking about, and I guess mainly what we've been talking about today, has been around CGM, insulin pumps and hybrid closed loops, although obviously there are other technologies out there that are important as well. But I think the utility of those is largely driven by how people use their mobile phones. And so we're in this interesting position at the moment, which is medical technology and personal technology requires each other to work well. And for, I think the truism is that most of us don't really understand how our mobile phones work. So I think largely there is a piece about get good with your mobile phone, because then you'll be able to work with technology really well on any level.
So an event like this, Partha, why is it so important to bring people together in these sort of conference events?
So I always have said that chronic disease, any chronic disease, and in this context, let's say diabetes, the three planks on which it sits is self-management, peer support, and access to trained professionals. And this conference, you know, brings all those three together, right? People talk about how are you managing your diabetes better, you're talking to other people who are managing it, and you've got a lot of trained professionals around. So it's a beautiful sort of microcosm of what care should be about. And you're getting people in one place, people are talking about it, the old school hierarchy is not there. So that's good, and I think that's what it brings to the party, so to speak.
Have either of you got some top tips to share with us today?
So from my point of view, I think it depends as to who it's aimed at, but from my point of view, to anybody with diabetes, I would say the change is here, and don't be afraid to ask for what you are eligible for. And I think people always get a bit worried about how much they can ask. There's lots of professionals like us who are trying to make the system better, but you have a louder voice than you think, and I think I would say ask. You're not asking for things which are not authorized, they are. So do that, and the system then will change according to your ask.
So I've got a different type of one which you might expect, which is technology isn't magic. It is often very clever, but it's not magic, and it works best when we as individuals know what we want from the technology. So none of the technology that stands at present takes the diabetes away, but it can help. But different technologies can help in different circumstances. So I think the first clear piece for an individual is, what is it that I want to be different and how would I like that to be changed, has to be the starting point for all technology discussions.
My name's Dr. Sue Jones. I'm a diabetes consultant based in the northeast of England.
So you've done these days before with us, but not on this scale?
No, I did the first day in the northeast in Durham, and I think that was around prior to 2010. And I've done a number of the days at Hartlepool Marina with my diabetes team, who've always been heavily involved in the RWF programme.
So we've pulled together a bigger team. What are you presenting on today?
Diabetes and the kidney. A kidney disease affects a lot of people across the world, but it affects a lot of people with diabetes as well. chronic kidney disease is a condition that's diagnosed on a blood test, and it's often a big blow to people with diabetes to then be told they've got chronic kidney disease. And my mission today is to try and help people understand what it is. It's actually a natural process of aging and doesn't necessarily mean your diabetes has got worse. And I'm also going to tell people how to help themselves to understand their chronic kidney disease and what to do if it progresses, because not everyone's chronic kidney disease does progress. And it's useful to know the tips of your diet and what changes need to be done to your medication.
And why are days like this so important, do you think?
It gets people with diabetes to understand that they are extremely important people, and it's about them, not about the healthcare professional. They only see healthcare professionals for an average of 6 hours a year. They're managing their diabetes themselves for the rest of that time. And it just helps empower them to meet others who are doing exactly the same. And that's the mission of your charity.
It is indeed. And that peer support, talking to other people, is always any condition, I think, is good, isn't it?
It is. But this particular charity does it really well, because it works for the people with diabetes and puts them at the centre. The healthcare professionals are there to assist, but it's often the people with diabetes that teach us as healthcare professionals as well. And we can take back what we learn from conferences like this to help our own patients.
Good morning. My name's Paula Johnson. I'm the lead inpatient diabetes nurse at Southampton Hospital.
Hi there, everyone. I'm Mayank Patel. I'm a diabetes consultant also at University Hospital Southampton.
So this is your first time, Paula. What's your impression so far?
I think it's fantastic, seeing all the different stands, stores, companies. I think it's going to be fantastic, really good for peer support.
And you've been coming to these events for several years. What's your sort of feelings around why we do them and why they're important?
For me, Claire, I think it's been an absolute privilege and a pleasure supporting the charity for a number of years, as you allude to, and seeing it here on this scale at such a big setting with such a massive array of opportunities and educational things for individuals with diabetes is fantastic. And I think, we discussed earlier, I think the opportunity for people to come along, learn about diabetes in a different way, perhaps outside the traditional healthcare model setting, is really important at a time that's hopefully convenient on a weekend for some people. So seeing specialists, non-specialists, charity staff all discussing diabetes, I think, in one place is priceless.
And what's your presentation today?
So Paul and I were asked to discuss the importance of individuals with diabetes and those close to them knowing what should run well. So a turn of phrase used quite commonly is sick day rules. So Paul and I are looking forward to doing a session on type 1 diabetes individuals having been unwell with type 1 diabetes and discussing sick day rules. And in the afternoon I'll be discussing type 2 diabetes and being unwell and how to manage that.
And that's looking at the medication and how you manage when you're unwell, yes?
It's basically some advice, really. So, yeah, if you're not able to eat and drink, some tips and hints of what other things you may be able to take to keep your blood glucose level stable.
And knowing when to seek help, of course, if you're unwell, and don't struggle alone is the important thing to remember when you're not very well. Get help urgently if you're worried.
I am Parijat Day. I'm a consultant in diabetes endocrinology. I work locally in City and Sandwell Hospital. So it's about 45 minutes from here, and I've been involved with diabetes for the last 20 years now.
So what sort of changes have you seen over those 20 years working in diabetes?
Quite a lot. We've had lots of new drugs come about in type 2 diabetes. I mean, it's amazing how many we have now, and the evidence for these drugs in terms of protecting the heart, the kidneys, and for the first time prolonging lives. So there's been a huge change in type 2 diabetes management, and of course in type 1 diabetes, gadgets, technology, CGMs, there has been a sea change, and I can imagine it is difficult for patients to keep up to date, because it's tough for me to just understand the research that's going around in diabetes. So, very exciting times.
And I think the session, I remember from last year, you very much talked about the drugs. You mentioned some people are averse to starting on drugs, but you said at the time, hang on a minute, these things are life-changing. You said life-preserving.
Yes, I mean, there has been a change in how we manage diabetes these days. You know, gone are the days when you think about just diet and lifestyle, because you're just prolonging the inevitable. So we've got to come in quite hard early on. So along with diet and lifestyle, which has got to be the cornerstone throughout, we like to introduce drugs early on because the evidence is so great in terms of reducing complications and in terms of longevity. So we want the best for our patients, and that's the evidence we'd like to discuss and encourage patients. You know, but it's discussion. And if somebody says, you know, I'm going to go for lifestyle, fine. But there has to be a finite time period and say, look, it's working or not working for you, let's move on.
My name's Lisa Poole, and I'm a dietitian in the NHS.
Fantastic. So you've done these days before with us?
Yes. So I've been volunteering with DRWF for about 7 years now. I've come right the way through from being a student, and now I am a qualified dietitian. This is my second year of doing talks here in Warwick.
And what are you presenting today?
So I'm talking about the programme that's available on the NHS. It's Soups and Shakes. And it's a program that is offered to type 2 diabetic patients that could potentially help them lose weight, reduce their blood sugar levels, and maybe put them into remission so that they don't necessarily need to monitor their blood sugars and so on.
Is that a bit scary for people contemplating meal replacement?
It could be. It's a very restrictive diet. And I think that's the whole idea of giving this talk, just to give people reassurance that it is manageable. You've got full support for the whole year. And there's 3 tiers to the programme. So you are fully supported and guided by the relevant healthcare professionals to help you along that pathway.
Is it pretty much available across the UK?
Not everywhere at the moment. It's been rolled out to, I'd say, about 80% of the UK. There's still some areas that it's not available, but I think they're hoping to roll it out completely within the UK within the next few years coming up.
So it's an on-prescription. How long for?
So the first phase of the programme is 12 weeks of total diet replacement. So that's 4 supplemental drinks throughout the day. They are free on the NHS. And then the rest of the programme, so the second phase is coaching by healthcare professionals to teach you how to eat properly, exercise. And then you've got that full support right the way for the 12 months to help you hopefully lose weight, sustain that weight and eat healthily.
That is a huge issue for people often diagnosed with type 2. They just don't know what to eat, do they?
No, most definitely. And I think the whole idea of the programme is to get that dramatic weight loss initially to give the individuals better energy levels so that they can increase their exercise levels. They can reduce that weight, so they don't necessarily need to rely on additional medications. And then once they've done that initial phase, they then get the additional training to eat healthily, well-balanced diet, knowing what foods they can and can't eat to maintain that weight loss and potentially lose more weight on the journey.
And are they in groups or is it a one-to-one support?
Again, that's a choice by the individual. They can either have one-to-one, they can have digital, so they can either do it online, they can do it in a group face-to-face, they can have online support by a healthcare professional. So it's just down to that individual how they want to receive that treatment.
Do you think people know this is available?
I don't think they do, which is the whole idea why I'm giving this talk. And just try and reassure people that it could potentially be scary, but with that support that they've got along the way, that it's not so daunting.
Do all GPs know?
I don't think they do, no. So again, it's trying to put that message out there that this programme is available. It's been driven by the government to try and reduce diabetes prevalence and how, like, the health benefits from this diet.
My name is Akash Patel, and I'm a consultant in diabetes at Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital. And I also do academic research work looking into different types of diabetes.
So why do you think the research is so important?
Well, look, we are already doing quite a lot of new things for diabetes. But if you do, and despite of our best efforts, there are a lot many things we still haven't been able to nail down. So I think doing research, more and more research, will allow us to the areas that we haven't been able to improve for people living with diabetes.
So the funding aspect for research, how do charities really play into that for you?
So if you think about just in the UK, for example, funding for diabetes is mainly really comes from charities like yourself. And this is fantastic because most of the funding streams are generic. Otherwise, the big ones like from government such as MRC and Wellcome Trust. The other disease have advantage of a slightly bigger charities, whereas diabetes is kind of, because it's causing so many different things, very few people are focusing on it. So having people like yourself makes it really, really exciting for researchers to directly target if we have a diabetes specific questions, which other charities may not be able to support you on that.
And what are your thoughts around a day like today? So it's celebrating 25 years for the charity working in diabetes wellness as well as research. Why is that so important, you think, to bring those things together?
So I think research alone has no answer to it. Diabetes is such a complex disease that we're dealing with. It's so intertwined with your social life and the being wellness. And I've always very fascinated by the diabetes because it's not just about giving a prescription. Most of the disease, you would just write a prescription and the job is done. Whereas diabetes actually starts after the prescription. And that makes it very unique disease, that it is not just about clinician writing a prescription and someone takes the drug. There's a lot more involved in it. So I think, A, that's the aspect that there's a lot of human connection to it and how you perceive things with it. And the second is a lifelongness of the disease themselves. Most of the time, unfortunately, we cannot cure it. So you have to live with it. And living with a chronic disease is very difficult. And you do need the wellness aspect, the good mind, in order to deal with such a terrible time or disease that you may have.
Hello, I'm Asmina Gavinji, registered dietitian and author, and a member of the editorial advisory board of DRWF.
So you've had that long association with the charity, haven't you?
I have been here for the actual 25 years. I can remember the late Roslyn Elson rang me up and said, come on board, let's think of doing something together. And we wrote a book, actually, with DRWF all those years ago. And it's been lovely being part of that growth over the years.
So you are a registered dietitian and you have all your own channels and social media, etc., etc. What have you been talking about today?
So, I mean, it started off as plant-based eating and how to incorporate more plants into your diet, only because we know, you know, more vegetables, etc., will help to stabilize your blood glucose and it's healthier for you. But we ended up going in all sorts of amazing directions. People were interested in gut health and how having this diversity of plants is good for your gut microbes. We talked about GI and how, you know, whizzing up your vegetables in a smoothie is going to make your blood glucose go up that much more quickly, so try and have them raw and in their natural state if you can. We talked about diabetes and complications, some of the books that I've written. So it was really good. We had a very intimate setting where I had no slides, it wasn't a lecture. I sat down and we just had a lovely Q&A session where everybody supported each other.
So Asmina, have you got a top tip to take away from your day here or that you can pass on?
I guess it would be enjoy what you eat, and maybe I would say just add one more vegetable to every meal. That would probably be it. If you just do that, just add one more veg to every meal, you will get that better control of your blood glucose management. You will help feed your gut bacteria. You will help your immune system, help to fill you up. You'll get loads of fiber. Just one more veg at a meal.
What's not to like?
What's not to like?
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
So my name is Dr. Mira Ladswa. I'm a diabetes physician, a clinician and researcher, and I work in London, particularly looking after young adults in transition and also older adults with type 1 diabetes as well.
And what have you been doing here today?
So I've been on two panels today. One session was for diabetes in diverse communities. And so the area where I work has a lot of ethnic and socioeconomic diversity as well. We've got 256 languages spoken in the borough of Newham, where I am. Really, really rich and interesting place to work, but also brings its challenges as well. So talking about the difficulties of getting the right diagnosis in people from different ethnic communities, and also about health inequalities as well.
Hi Claire, my name's Renika Das. I'm a children's diabetes doctor based at Birmingham Children's Hospital. I lead the diabetes service there and also do the young adult transition service as well.
So what have you been talking about today here?
So today primarily I've been talking about transition for young people, not just in from young adult, so from adolescence to young adult, so adult services, but also some other key transition points in their life, like primary school to secondary school, and what things parents need to think about or consider, and how to talk to their diabetes team in their school about their concerns.
I'm Rose Stewart. I'm a consultant clinical psychologist. I'm based in North Wales and I lead diabetes psychology services for North Wales, and I'm the national lead diabetes psychologist for Wales as well, and the chair of the Diabetes Psychology Network. So
what's your session been today?
I have been working with the children and families with type 1 today. So we've been talking about the feelings that come along with diabetes, and I've been really lucky today where we've had the artist Katie Lamb in our session. So Katie took the kids out of the room and they've all been creating their own diabetes creatures. So we've got all of their creatures on a lovely poster gallery wall just out there. And while she was doing that, I've been talking to the parents about how difficult it can be looking after a young person with diabetes, those stresses, and what we can do to manage them. And then we brought the kids back in, we had story time, and then we all did a hedgehog-based relaxation exercise, which is very fun.
So for the parents, it can be very isolating, can't it, having a child with type 1, no matter what age. How do events like this help?
They make a huge difference. I think so many of the parents that I see and I work with, when they don't get the opportunity to meet with other families with type 1, you can so often feel lonely, isolated, and so often the things that you really worry about or maybe criticize yourself for, it takes getting into a space with other parents with type 1 to say, actually, this is really normal. My kid does this too. And so to have that sense that you're part of a group, part of a team, and it's wonderful for the kids to be able to play together. So it's really, really wonderful. I'd recommend it to any families living with type 1.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. In addition to experts and researchers at United Through Diabetes, I also caught up with young people living with diabetes and their families.
My name's Sophie Diaper. I'm mum of Evie, who's type 1.
I'm Nick Diaper.
So you've been here today and you've done a session as parents with a child living with type 1. What was that session all about?
The session was with Rose and Katie around helping kids and parents living with type 1 to manage, health and well-being. But a really interesting session because I think psychology as a way of helping to deal with managing type 1 for both parents and kids is probably still an emerging discipline, but I think we both found it really useful, and it was very engaging for the kids because they got to draw loads of images around their sort of type 1 diabetes animals, so I think very engaging for both kids and parents.
What did you learn from the session?
Really, we're all in the same boat and it's okay, and it was really refreshing to hear Rose just understand. I'm wondering, there's lots of psychologists within the healthcare profession, but for her to actually be a diabetes psychologist, she just understood a lot more of the nuances that we feel and experience day to day, and it was really nice for her to just say, we know that this is what you're going through, it's okay, it's normal, and there's ways that we can support you and you can deal with it day to day.
So how important are days like this for parents?
I think really important. I mean, we're only 2 years into our journey with diabetes, so I think we recognise we're still learning, but we went to a DRWF event when Evie was first diagnosed. It was the first time we mixed with other parents in a similar situation. And probably until that point, we hadn't quite realized how important peer support was for both for children and for parents with type 1. So I think these events are fantastic because you're with like-minded individuals who we all have a lived shared experience that often other people don't quite understand. So it's really nice to be part of a special community, and is a big part of how we just help support our daughter with type 1.
We've just met a family now who just been diagnosed 3 weeks ago, and they live down the road from us. So, you know, not coming to this event, we wouldn't have known that. So just opportunities like that. And the girls are off together now, running around the event and just enjoying being together as kids. And they have a shared common interest that they're type 1.
So I'm Katie. I live with type 1 diabetes, and I'm an artist and advocate for children and young people living with type 1.
So you're here today talking to the family groups?
I am. I'm helping out in one session, and I'm leading another session all about digital art and posting all about your diabetes through art.
So you've got quite a large following on social media?
I do. I post quite a bit on Instagram and on Twitter, and I like to share my art on those platforms to really be part of the online community. Yeah.
So you were telling me you were diagnosed very young with type 1 diabetes.
I was. It was just before my second birthday, so 20 years now. So I can't really remember anything other than living with type 1.
And you're now on the closed loop system. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I am. So since January this year, I've been very fortunate to be able to have my closed loop system, which has made a huge difference to the number of decisions I have to make around diabetes, to the sleep I can have with diabetes. I'm really grateful to be able to have that tech.
So it's not a fully closed loop, is it? You still have to do a little bit of work.
Still have to do some work. So you have to tell it how many carbs you're eating. And as with everything technology, it doesn't always work. There are always things that the human still has to be doing. So it's not what some people call an artificial pancreas. There's still work to do, but it's a good step in the right direction, I think.
So when you're talking to families and young people, what are the sort of messages that you're getting across, and what are the kind of barriers? You said yourself you didn't want to have a pump for a while.
Yeah, so I think knowing that these things are scary, they're big decisions to make, and it's expected to be nervous about these kinds of things, and it's okay to feel apprehensive about that kind of thing. I talk a lot about not striving for perfection, because perfection is really hard to reach in diabetes. And so what works for you needs to be the most important thing. So just because everyone's using a pump that you see, that doesn't mean that that's necessarily right for you. And it's all about making those decisions based on what works for you.
So something like this, where you can come and find out about the tech, mm-hmm. This is really good, isn't it?
It's really helpful. I really enjoy speaking to other people, hearing lots of different experiences, and being able to kind of think about all of these different ideas from lots of different people. And being able to hear from the experts as well. I think it's good to have both lived experience and from the people who really know what they're talking about when they've been putting these things together and doing the research. So this is really great.
Why is peer support so good?
Diabetes can be so isolating when you don't know who else is going through it, and it's really easy to feel really very alone. And being able to share those stories, to come together and just know that you are not alone. And there are lots of people who feel the same way about so many things. And I think it's a great way to learn from each other as well. You know, I had lived with type 1 for 18 years before I really found the online community. And the amount that I was able to learn from other people was just incredible.
And it's good to have the different streams at this event, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's an incredible program to be able to pick where you're kind of going to. There's a huge range of different topics being covered, so it's a really great program.
So I'm Gary Rapson, so Max's dad.
Hi, I'm Max, aka Captain Lantus.
So what made you write the book then, Max?
I decided that Iron Man's chest was like an insulin pump that keeps you alive. So I said to my dad, I'm basically a superhero because I've got basically a kind of arc reactor in me. My dad thought, yeah, this book could work out.
So Max was 6 when he came up with the idea. So Max was diagnosed when he was 18 months old. We couldn't control his diabetes. It was impossible to control it. So we decided to put him on an insulin pump when he was 3. Max was absolutely petrified when he went to this pump. And for me and Sarah, my wife, it was like starting all over again. Absolutely all over again. So when he was 6, he came home from school and he said to me, Dad, I have this really good idea. So I said, okay, so what's the idea? He said, well, my insulin pump keeps me alive in exactly the same way as Iron Man stays alive in the Avengers. So he said, does that mean I'm an Avenger? And I'm, absolutely, you are an Avenger, Max, absolutely. So he started writing a story. He wanted to write a story about a superhero that wears an insulin pump. And after a few drafts, a few messing around stories that we were doing, I went to bed and I just couldn't sleep. I thought, this is such a good idea, because it took me back to when he was three, when he had that insulin pump, and he was so scared, so worried. I had nothing. So as parents, me and Sarah, we had information, phone numbers, NHS, everything to help us. But Max had nothing apart from our word that it was going to be okay. If I had had Captain Lantus when he was three, telling him he's a superhero, he would have been jumping around the house. So it's had a massive impact on us, our lives, this book, but also on so many people's lives around the world. We donate them to America, New Zealand, Australia, everywhere, which is priceless for us. It's been really good. The other thing for Max, which helps Max as well, is from school perspective. So he has it at school. And what that's allowed him to do is his class and his people at school all want to talk to Max about Captain Lantus, which leads to the conversation around what is diabetes, what does it do, and they're all interested in. So he doesn't hide away anymore. He's absolutely like an advocate at school, really, Max, isn't you? You talk about it with your friends, they ask you about it. Really, really good. Really, really excited by it. And hopefully we want this to be part of a care package for the NHS. So we're trying constantly to reach out to different people. Events like this today are going to help us because we're meeting people all day. But our aim is that. So one day that, you know, the likes of these companies who give out insulin pumps or the NHS when kids get newly diagnosed, they've got something, i.e. Captain Lantus, books like that, stories like that, that they can go away and go, you know, I haven't got, this is not something that's going to affect my life. This has made me into a superhero, which is the message we want to get across to everybody.
How have you funded the book?
GoFundMe, Kickstarters, and then the rest of it gets funded by sales from things like this or out of our own pocket to do it. So, you know, that's why we're sort of constantly reaching out for sort of sponsorships and things like that, because we get asked to do a third book. And although we want to do a third book, we've got the story in mind. It's the cost. It's always the cost that stops us from doing it. Teddy bears, t-shirts, hats. You know, we haven't got a massive following on social media, and we want that to be bigger. But again, all that comes with funds and things like that. So that's always been our challenge. But we generally, you know, when we get a message from a child, say, who is sat in Los Angeles with Max's name on the front cover of a book, messaging us to say, what an amazing thing you've done, our son feels empowered, that is priceless. Absolutely, it's the reason we did it. So it's been really good, Max, isn't it?
Are you enjoying today?
Yeah.
You've met lots of people?
Yeah.
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 Fantastic. Well, that's lovely to meet you, and thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
The comic superhero theme is also a format being championed by Partha Carr and some of his colleagues to tackle the challenging issues around living with diabetes.
So I think the fundamental philosophy has been, how do we pass on information but slightly differently? We've got lots of ways of doing it. And my hat's off to my colleague Mayank Patel, who's done amazing work in this space. And it was that was the sort of principle. We both like comic books, we like Marvel movies, we got shared interest. And it started off as that sort of idea, and started off as what it's about diagnosis. And I think interacting with people with type 1 diabetes has given us the stories, and they have sort of evolved to what happens if your ketones are up, and then what happens about the stigma that's associated with diabetes. A lot of them have come from those spaces, just a different way of looking at education, I suppose, and making it fun along the way. So, yeah, that's pretty much, I would say, is the overarching concept of it.
And what are your plans for next editions?
So the next one should be out soon. We are working on something which is called Secret Wards, and that's about safety inside hospitals, which is not quite done as well as it should be. And I think a lot of people with diabetes tell us that, oh, I'm a bit afraid of going into hospital. Do they actually know about diabetes? So it's going to be, that's going to be the medium used to try and educate people why they need to learn about diabetes irrespective of what their profession is. So that's the next thing.
Fantastic.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
At this year's first annual National United Through Diabetes event, I was also able to try out some of the latest tech, including Dexcom and Libre monitoring devices and a new HbA1c home testing kit.
Always clean the area first, just to get rid of, make sure it's clean, get rid of any contamination, and then we dry it. So, sharp scratch, okay? And it enables people to get accurate results in the comfort of their own home rather than having to all the challenges that relate to going to the surgery or going to the hospital.
I'm Ramesh Patel, Managing Director at BHL Pharmaceuticals Limited. Today we have brought the world's first HbA1c test that can be done at home, licensed for home use, and it can be done in 5 minutes. It's as accurate as a lab system, and we're hoping that it be used in a Motivate Remission program.
So it's something they can do at home and share with their medical professional?
Yes, for sure. I wouldn't advise them to just take the result of the HbA1c. They need to look at the clinical conditions as well, and they need to obviously get help from their healthcare professional before doing anything stringent like changing medicine. Never do that.
Because sometimes people say, oh, I haven't had a test, especially during COVID. It really kind of threw everything up in the air, didn't it?
It did.
I think things are maybe starting to settle down, but I think people need to ask, don't they, if they haven't had a test maybe within 12 months.
Very much so. And there is a backlog and the surgeries are inundated. So it's an ideal time perhaps to look at something that you can afford and buy and do it at home, or go to a pharmacy and they can do the test sometimes. They offer services like that, including cholesterol testing. Sometimes you can get it on the NHS health checks program. So that could be a possibility as well out of hospitals, in surgeries or in pharmacy. So those are good sites to look at.
And if they wanted to buy it themselves from you, what would they do and how much would it be?
Yeah, so they can buy the HbA1c, A1c Now test online on www.bhr.co.uk, or they can go order it directly from people like diabetes.co.uk very soon, and they can certainly buy it through their pharmacy.
And what sort of price are we looking at?
We're looking at £78 plus VAT for a whole year's supply. So one test every 3 months, and that's £78. So it's very, very reasonable cost. When you consider that patches cost about £50 for every 2 weeks.
So we're going to take that out of the box. So we're going to take the thin end of the transmitter. And if you lift your arm up where you've got it,
Hi, my name's Judy. I work with Dexcom. I'm actually responsible for education of people living with diabetes, education for healthcare professionals. I'm a nurse in my background, and I also have a son who lives with type 1. So that makes me very passionate, actually, about what I do and why I do it.
And how life-changing are these devices?
Absolutely life-changing, because it can take away the unknown, it can take away the worry, the fear of hypoglycemia, particularly people who might be hypo unaware, and it really allows you insight into your glucose. What's it doing? What are the trends doing? How does food impact me? So it can really help you to manage your lifestyle, your diet, manage your diabetes in the most appropriate way.
And how important is it coming to a day like this today?
Oh, it's so important to be able to network with the community, with people living with diabetes, to help them really understand choice, because everybody has choice, especially with access to technology or technology they might choose for themselves. So to be able to come to talk to people, to understand what people's challenges are as well, more than anything, so that we can try to work around to find the right solution for every individual. Yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity and a great event that's been put together.
So I've just applied the Dexcom 1. I'm living with type 2. How has that changed for people living with type 2 diabetes?
So since the change in the NICE guidelines in March 2022, so NG28 is the NICE guideline for people living with type 2 diabetes. People, if you meet criteria, for example, you're taking 2 or more insulin injections a day, you're required to finger prick 7 to 8 times a day, or you're hypo unaware, or maybe you have some kind of challenge physically or mentally, at NG28, people with type 2 diabetes should be offered either a scan device or a real-time continuous glucose monitor to help them manage their condition and get the best from their diabetes.
And have you had a good day of people coming through and trying?
Excellent day, thank you. Yeah, it's I think giving people the opportunity to try is absolutely the best way to understand how technology can help them. So yes, this has been great.
Fabulous.
Play with that as you want to change all of your settings. And then if you click the middle button...
My name's Elise and I work for Abbott Diabetes Care, and we are the people that make the Freestyle Libre.
Okay, so you've been a sponsor today here at United Through Diabetes. What's that meant for Abbott and for you?
I think it's really important that we can, you know, give back to our community and also, you know, show what's on offer for patients that are living with diabetes.
You've had the chance to let people try out the Libre. Have you had lots of uptake on that?
Yeah, it's been really popular and it really gives people an idea of what the sensors show you. So that's been, I think, really important for us to be able to show people what the tech is, and the best way to do it is by trying a sensor yourself.
And these are people who've maybe considered it and not got round to trying it?
Yeah, it could be that they've not tried a sensor before, or maybe they've not even been aware that this is something that is available, and it's just really nice to be able to show them what it is. And we've done some really nice workshops today, myself and Joe, to actually go through, you know, what is available for people living with diabetes.
So why is a day like this important, do you think?
I think it's really nice to bring everyone together and the different communities. And I think it's just something nice that we can actually touch base with people and see how they're getting on, show them what's on offer, so that, you know, people have choice on what they're given.
Yeah, because I suppose you're seen as quite a big company.
Yeah.
But interacting with people living with diabetes is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's really important for us to understand, you know, what people face, so that we can do our best to support them.
So if people want to try out the Libre who weren't able to come today, what's their best route?
So the best route is on our web shop. You can order a free trial sensor if you're living with, you know, type 2 diabetes or you've never tried a sensor before. There's that option. And I think it's really nice, you know, because that's the best way to get a feel for what's going on, is actually to try the sensor yourself.
That's fantastic. And do you have a top tip at all?
Oh, you're quizzing me now. I'm trying to think of what a top tip would be. I think almost just to get stuck in, you know, try it, you know, and, you know, we have lots of resources as well where we try and, you know, support as best we can.
So we just talked to Pete, who's been living with diabetes for 65 years.
Yep.
And he's all teched up. So in recent years, that's really come to the fore, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think I joined Abbott about 5 years ago, and actually we didn't really have sensors on prescription at all at that point. And now it's changed so much. It's really nice to come here and actually see so many people already have access to this sort of technology, and then to be able to show what's on offer and things like that. It's, I think, really important to actually look back and see where we've come and how quickly, you know, we've adopted this, you know, amazing technology.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
Yeah, I'm Corinne Scott, community fundraiser for Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation.
So we're at the United Through Diabetes 25th anniversary event. What are you doing here specifically?
Well, as a community fundraiser, I'm selling beeswax candles, which I've made myself, all proceeds to go to the charity, as well as supporting the sale of the Christmas cards and the other bits and bobs that we've got for sale.
What have you found from today? What's your experience been with people?
People are really been positive. Every time they come out of a talk, they come and share what they've heard and what they've learned. They're learning more from the questions, I think, perhaps than the actual speaker, which is actually the idea. And also feeling part of the diabetes community, they're sort of almost in awe of the fact that so many people have diabetes that are like-minded and go through the same process that they are. So it's been really interesting.
My name's Lee Calladine. I'm the event coordinator at DRWF.
So this is the biggest event you've ever organised, Lee?
Yeah, we've held the Wellness Days for years. They're all regional days spread around the country. and we normally have exhibitors, but a very blended program. And we've known for a long time that people with diabetes want their own content. They want their own talks for specific areas of diabetes. So finally, we decided to retire the other events and create this lovely big central event and have content for families and children, for type 1, for type 2, diverse communities. We've got technology running separately so people can try sensors and have workshops about different insulin pumps. And then, of course, the big exhibition room, which is an umbrella that brings it all together.
And it's been really busy in here all day, obviously peaks and troughs around the talks. And I think people have really enjoyed seeing the stands.
Yes. But this is the additional support and information, isn't it? You know, you've got the talks from the healthcare professionals, which is the some of the practical long-term information about managing diabetes. And then you've got all of the diagnostic information in the room here, NHS services. So you've got all of the supportive information that people need as well.
Would you have an idea of the ratio of people who are new to these event to people who are returners?
So this year, for this first one, we can tell from the registration data that about 85% of the people here today have not been to a diabetes event before. And we've got quite a split. And again, a real change from our traditional events where we get a big type 2 audience. This year, we've got about a 70-30 split. And the bigger audience is type 1.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So they're really getting something out of this themselves, as you say, and the families and the diverse communities. It's really all working in harmony.
Yeah, absolute harmony. Everyone's got their own content. They're very happy. They've got all of this information, and then it's bringing them together as a community. So the core thing about these events is it's all about diabetes community and bringing everyone together, because they can share experiences and, you know, they can learn a lot from the doctors, from the companies, but they learn a lot from other people living with it. There's a chap here that's had type 1 for 67 years. Well, I mean, he can teach people a vast amount from his experience.
That's amazing. Mm. Yes, so peer support is at the heart of this, really, isn't
Definitely.
It?
Definitely. Absolutely.
So have you got a top tip you can share with us about living with diabetes?
Wow, there's lots of top tips. I guess talking to a lot of people here today, one of the themes that's come up is around the tech. You know, we've got some big tech companies here, and I think some people are still scared of it. They're scared of wearing technology, using a pump, using a sensor. So I think just, you know, give it a go. It's life-changing stuff, and once you start using it, you won't look back. So, yeah, top tip today is, you know, make the best of the technology that's out there. Give it a go.
And Partha made a nice comment. He said, you know, you are your own diabetes champion, really. Get out there and push for the best care you can.
Yeah. It's the diabetes community that have the voice. And Partha always says that in everything he does. He's like, we're at the forefront, but we can't do it without the community behind us pushing us along and supporting us.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. Look out for details of next year's United Through Diabetes National Wellness event. I hope you can join us for what's guaranteed to be an exceptional day. You can discover more on the special United Through Diabetes content hub on our website at drwf.org.uk, where you can also find details on how to support DRWF, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks to everyone who talked to us, and also to you for listening to this special edition of our podcast, Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2021. 2023. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.